You know, every week I say we need music, and then every week I realize you don't have headphones on, so you wouldn't hear the music to cue it up anyway, so it really wouldn't matter.
I have like little earbuds, although you could always give me one like one of those
Well, we'd
little
have to
like
get a splitter too, so
yeah.
we have to get a lot of things. Welcome to the Soderstrom bubble, a week removed because, God damn, I hate overnights. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Overnights are not fun. But it gave us another week to figure out what the hell we're going to talk about because we're in the lull of the hockey season. And after doing the timeline thing, it's like, well, what else can we tackle? And a lot of the stuff kind of visual and whatnot. And we can go into things. And if you ever have a suggestion, at SDRStrom Bubble on Twitter is where you can get us. I'm Scott. That's Jen. What are we going to talk about this week? I guess is the big question.
The whole conspiracy thing.
Yes. Talking about conspiracy. Also, we put out the thing on the Twitter about players you love to hate. And boy, did we have a lot of those.
We did.
My goodness gracious. We'll get into some of that as well. And that's about it. That's not really much else we can do. We're getting to the dregs of the playoffs. My God, I can't stand the playoffs. When is it going to be done? My God, please, 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 please. At least
Did you see my tweet
let this
last
series
night?
get over with. Let this series get over with. Let this series get over with. What tweet was that?
To steal the line from Wayne's World, the playoffs are no one's friends.
That's true.
If they were an ice cream flavor, they'd be pralines and dick.
Wow, language is just a family podcast. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I am Caps Nation, as always, taking years off their lives. So welcome to that. Glad you decided to join us for this one, Jen. Appreciate it.
You mean rooting for the Caps?
Yeah, no, it's not a fun deal.
No, and you know I've done it for a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Oops, I forgot to turn mute on my thing. I was looking at the worlds are happening right now, and France beat Finland 5-1. But the media gave the player of the game to France to Pierre-Édouard Bellemare of the Flyers, even though Florian Hardy made 41 saves in the 5-1, and the team Bellemare was actually trying to push him to go to the front,
He's like, no, dude.
and then afterwards Bellemare got to the thing, and he talked to the president. He's like, a goalie needs, and they yelled the goalie over, and he got the player of the game instead.
Yeah.
So, pretty class move by those Frenchie who. Beating Finland 5-1, that's pretty huge.
Yeah.
Pretty huge. We should do that next week, the history of the world championships.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's a fun one.
Yeah.
So, we'll see about that. But the question we posed out there, player you love to hate. Now, this is playoff time, and that's rivalries, and...
This is the time to be hating players.
Oh, in a bit. Like, this is, like, beyond hatred. Like, this is... I hope their bus to the airport gets overturned, kind of hate. At least for me. At least for me. And there's only a few people I hate. I don't really hate many players.
No, I don't
I
either.
respect them.
There are certain things that players do that I hate, but
Who are the people you, I wouldn't say hate, loathe? Who do you loathe?
Mark Messier.
I guess that's some people. He's a very hot and cold guy.
Yeah, well, and I also have a different perspective than a lot of fans because, they're fans and I'm a
And
historian, so.
yeah, fan is short for fanatical.
Exactly. So I've gotten to the point where I can't even really mention him on Twitter because fans are so polarized about whatever he's done. Like, if I say something he did with the Canucks, then I have, both Canucks and Rangers fans screaming at me. If I mention him in general, then I have the Canucks fans screaming at me,
It's very odd. But overall is what it is. Messi, I don't like because I don't understand where he got that whole, oh, I'm the best captain in the world title.
I don't
Like, how
either.
does he have a leadership award named after him when I thought he was, ugh.
I thought he was a bully.
I don't think he was a bully. I just think he was a terrible leader. I just think that he's a guy who had a big mouth, and if that didn't pay off in game six, what would have happened, right? Like, it's like he's a scumbag with a terrible trophy.
An award created by him, named after him, awarded by him, and judged by him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
And people forget it was supposed to be monthly. And then after like 3 months, you're like, no,
we can't do
we
this.
can't do this anymore, guys.
Yeah.
We can't. And it's just a terrible looking trophy. It's like a three tier 3D garbage. Like Johnny on the
It's like 3D if 3D was invented in 1980.
Yeah, if you go to the Face Off Hockey Show Facebook page, FOHS Radio, you can see Johnny P took one when we were at the Sunrise Draft. And it's as bad up close as it is in life.
There is no good angle for that trophy.
Yeah, except in the garbage. But the players you love to hate, got Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Got a lot of people. The Kens Lindman, but he's changed his stripes, but he's annoying. He's very good at what he does in terms of, getting under people's skin. I guess agitators do that.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of being an agitator. Like, you hate them when they're on somebody else's team, mm-hmm. but you love them when they're on your team.
There's a name that you said when we were at Burger King when I posted that question, like, you were surprised they didn't get more votes.
Chris Pronger?
Pronger was one, and the other guy for...
Avery?
No. Barnaby.
Oh, Barnaby, yeah.
Why do you think Barnaby would be more hated?
Well, he was a pest, but he was almost Avery before Avery. Like, just that jackass, grinning, annoying, I'm going to cheat at every opportunity, loudmouth.
Yeah, all kinds of crap.
Yeah, I mean, his teammates didn't seem to mind him too much, but at the time, like back when he played, it seemed like a lot of fan bases really just did not like him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he did the thing with the gold tooth and the logo in it and whatever.
Well, he kind of lived up to it, which you can respect.
So. Yeah, yeah. He also had sort of an odd personality where he was very brash, but at the same time he was very, like, thin-skinned.
Yeah.
So when his teammates razzed him, he didn't react well to it. You know, it's a very odd kind of personality as well.
Yeah. Matt Cook... Obviously, yeah. He's a big scumbag.
Although he's tried to change.
Eh. I don't even know where the hell he's at now. Honestly, I think he's out of hockey, so... Who knows? In any case... Corey Perry. Which, Corey Perry, I've heard from, people who I've lived with who had experience with him. Giant dickhole. Just a huge douche.
On my scale of annoying, he's kind of whatever, middle of the pack. But I see a lot of hatred for him every day. So Kessler.
Mm-hmm. Which I didn't understand.
I didn't understand.
Well,
either.
I can understand to a point, but not to the point where he's hated, like, universe. Like, you love to hate him. It's like, hey, he's pesky, but...
Yeah, he's not. Lucic?
I can see Lucic, especially from Vancouver fans who feel they were spurned when he was... That's another thing. Like, Canadian guys who don't go to their hometown cities when they're free agents seem to be, like, universally hated for one reason. And he played in Boston, too, so that was another strike against him.
Yeah.
Well,
and he played in Boston during the height of the Habs-Bruins rivalry there.
That's true, too.
So, yeah.
Brandon Dubinsky was one that I didn't understand.
Me either. Alex Burrows.
Understandable. Though he's kind of toned down a bit.
Dale Hunter.
I was a Caps guy. I can't hate Dale Hunter. Like, I can't. I understand why people would hate him. Like, maybe Turgeon shouldn't celebrate that much.
A couple of those shoulders that he...
Listen, Dennis Potvin was not mentioned once here, and he broke Bengt Gustafsson's leg. So the hell with Denny Potvin. I'm surprised more Ranger fans, A, didn't realize that, and B, didn't react to it.
Yeah. Kasparaitis.
Kasper's an interesting one. He played very few places. He was a very hard hitter. I would say
he was a hard hitter.
Again, another little pesky guy.
Yeah, but he wasn't. Claude Lemieux, I can certainly understand.
Yeah, Claude Lemieux definitely for just being him.
Is he
a 2-time Conn Smythe winner?
I think so.
Yeah, because he won with 80. I want to say 86 and 95. Off the top of my head. Matt Tkachuk was mentioned.
Yep.
And I will say this, too young.
Too new.
too young to be a pesk.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can understand where he's going, you know, where he could be going around. He could be going and getting that route. But right now, yep. Small sample size.
Someone in mine said Nash.
Rick Nash, I assume?
Rick Nash, yeah. Well, it wouldn't be Kevin.
I was thinking more Tyson Nash.
Yeah, I know. I just had to go for that.
Yeah, no. Well, he's universally hated. We know Kevin Nash. There's not a lot of people like him.
Yeah.
Ovi and Sid.
I can see how you would dislike them for the sheer stupid narrative around them.
Narrative, the proclamation that they're whiners, the proclamation that they're divers. Ovi does,
coach killers.
Coach killers, dirty guys, because
yeah.
They both take a lot. They get away with a lot.
They do. And, you know, it's the same stuff that Gretzky got away, or Lemieux got away with, mm-hmm. that Messier got away with. I mean, hell, Messier once embedded his stick in one of the Sutter brothers' mouths.
Right.
And but didn't leadership. Get anything for it, you leadership. Know?
Leadership. Someone named Shane C. says Darcy Tucker?
Yeah, he was kind of annoying.
Shane? No, he said that's too obvious of a name. S. Corson was his name.
Shane
Have you never heard that rumor?
About Corson and...
Corson and Tucker?
Yeah.
And, you know, that broke up the lease? That's another.
You know, but that story is like every team.
Exactly. Jeff Carter and Mike Richards, like that's been there.
It happened in the blue with the Blues.
Happened with the Sabres.
Yeah, I mean that's the rumor every like, and mm-hmm. then there was the one just recently about what's his name, Sharp.
So what was that?
Yeah, it was something about Patrick Sharp sleeping with a Blackhawks teammate's wife too, and it was, yeah. you know, it's. It's every team, every few years.
Listen, stop having key party, guys. Like, that's like, that's obvious. Roenick and Medano. Roenick, I could see for pure annoyingness.
Yeah.
Again, with that skill thing early in his career. His NBC work is goddamn atrocious. Like, I can't...
He needs to lay off the Botox, too. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, he talks on NBC, and, like, his eyebrows don't move, and...
It's either you want to be a star, or you want to be an analyst. Like, let's pick one or the other there, champ. Let's not try to do both. Patrick Kane and Evander Kane. Do with that what you will.
Yeah, that's more
moral, social justice kind of thing.
Yeah, that's more of a moral call.
Yeah. No, is what it is.
I mean, but, you know, by the same token, then, you know, if you have to hate Patrick Kane for what he may have done off the ice, then you can't hate the guys like Zach Cassian or whoever for what they do on the ice because of what they do off the ice, you know, to balance it out. Like, you can't say, oh, he's a skill guy, he does terrible stuff, but then you've got these brawlers who do really wonderful stuff off the ice. Like, you can't make that.
Zach Cassian got driven drunk, and that's what got him out of Montreal. Let's not use him as the prime example, please.
No, but since then, he has sobered up, and he's spoken about it, and he does do children's programs, sure. And, you know, and it's usually these fringe guys,
mm-hmm.
Even guys like Claude Lemieux, like, you hate what they do on the ice, but they do really great stuff off the ice that they rarely get or want credit for.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Someone said Darren McCarty, but then they were played on their favorite team, and they can't really explain why. They can't really explain in a tweet.
You know, I never really liked Patrick Waugh,
mm-hmm.
and he played for the Habs, and he won the Cup with the Habs, but I never liked him. And, you know, and I can't really articulate why beyond he was just so arrogant.
So I feel the same with Jágr. Like, everyone was so hyped when Jágr got traded to the Caps. The minute that happened, I'm like, this is not going to be a good move.
Mm-mm.
And he underperformed, and he said as much that he underperformed. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out why the hell... He did that, you know, why mm-hmm. he just, I have my theory that that was the only place he was going to get the money. Because yeah. Ted Leonsis was a win-at-all-cost guy, and to take something from your rival, the Penguins, why wouldn't you?
Plus, it added a marquee name, which meant butts and seats.
At that time, they didn't really have a marquee name. I mean, Peter Bondra was good, but he wasn't great.
He was also aging.
And not even that, like, even when in his prime, I don't think Peter Bondra was the superstar level that... Ovechkin was the first big superstar that succeeded in DC.
Yeah.
Less Ole Kolzig.
Yeah.
But Kolzig can only do so much in goal. So, I mean, the offensive star or the defensive star. I mean, some would argue Langway, but Langway started in Montreal. Like, he wasn't a homegrown guy.
Right.
So, there's that. Casper, St. Louis, or Marchand. Justin Abdelkader gets a vote.
That's a new one.
That's a very odd one. I don't know why that got a vote. I'm trying to find Shane.
I'm surprised nobody mentioned Scott Stevens. Or Eric Lindros.
Yeah, but Lindros wasn't... I think people forgot about Lindros in terms of just living life. Hartnell.
Mm.
Steve Ott, mm-hmm. also. So, a lot of, again, bruiser brawler kind of guys.
Yeah. Well, with some of these guys, they played on the edge, but then they also played over the edge several times. Like, you know, Ott.
They play close to that edge and then, nope, no way over there.
We're just going to swerve hard here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a hard right. So there's that. Yeah, I mean, the guys I loathe, but I don't like people who hated Jágr.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that, you know, it's hard to have them come around on him. Because he went to the Rangers after that. I thought he was a scumbag. And now he's just basically a mercenary. Seems to hold up in Florida for the sheer fact there's no taxes. So he's fine with that. I don't know. I don't get the infatuation with Jágr.
Yeah, I know. Because he's one of my favorites. And
I think he's that guy of the bygone era that everyone can, oh, I remember him from the 90s, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it. I understand he's going to be a modern-day Gordie Howe. Good for him. I don't get it. I'm trying to think of guys that, right, a lot of guys are so vanilla right now, it's hard to...
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of personality, and what personality there is, they're constantly slapping down. So...
And that's just it. Like, everyone's the same personality. If you hate one of those people with the personality, you're going to hate everybody with that personality. Trying to think of who else. I don't like Gretzky.
I don't either.
I didn't like... I understand what he meant to hockey.
Yeah.
Never really a fan.
Yeah.
I am disgusted by Mario Lemieux. Consistently disgusted by Mario Lemieux.
Why?
Just his attitude.
Yeah.
His attitude, first, not wanting to go to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Second, then milking Pittsburgh for everything.
Mm-hmm. And helping cause the bankruptcy.
Helping cause the bankruptcy on top of then shopping out the team to hold a city hostage.
Yeah.
To build them a new arena. Then hold the city hostage again after they're like, hey, maybe we don't want to own the team anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's a scumbag move. I think he's a scumbag in himself, and there's other personal things I won't get into that I think he's a scumbag, faker bullshit, so, like, I don't like him one bit. He is the one person I can say I genuinely dislike in a big way in hockey.
I'm pretty neutral on Lemieux, for the most part. I think he's so bland and standoffish that there's just nothing interesting about him aside from, you know, a few of the things he's done on the ice. That's it. That's all I've got. Like, you know, the most interesting quote I've gotten from him as a player was something along the lines of, well, how do you stay in the season, how do you get in shape for the season? He's like, I quit ordering fries with my sandwich. You know, like, that's the most interesting quote I've gotten from him. So he's just there like a lump of clay, like just there.
And I'm at the point where it's I see the thing with Lemieux is that if this was if he was Eric Lindros before Eric Lindros was, mm-hmm. and no one cares,
yeah,
because he stayed in a market he didn't want to stay in,
mm-hmm.
and like no one brings that up.
Well,
it's kind of hidden.
Yeah, and he
at
didn't.
At least to me.
And he didn't want to sign with Pittsburgh because part of the reason was they were a failing team, obviously. And the other part was they didn't want to pay him.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's why he held out.
And I mean, you look at, like, even when he came back for that first retirement, it's as if, you know, he came back and owned the team just to get the money recouped back from him.
Yeah.
That he lost and they held out for him.
That's what it felt like.
And it was insincere.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good skill guy.
Mm-hmm.
He can score. He can kill. I don't even hate him for. I hate Peter Nedved more than I hate Lemieux for killing the Caps in the playoffs. But at the same time, I can't respect him as a person in general. And how he's held a city hostage multiple times in his playing career, held an ownership hostage during his playing career, holding a city hostage in his ownership career.
Yeah.
So, like, as a person, go to hell. Like, I don't understand him one bit.
Yeah. And I'm sure people come screaming out of the woodwork, you know, about what a
saint
he is.
No one listens to this show. You know that as well as I do. I know Sean Leahy will confront me at the in Chicago. Also, stop buying me all these limes. Also, Lemieux was all right. That's what I'll get from Sean Leahy. My Leahy impression is not as good as Wyszynski's Leahy impression, but hey, what can you do? Conspiracy!
Every year.
Oh, it's a great one, especially this Edmonton one.
Oh, so great. Yes. Of course, the NHL wants Edmonton out of the playoffs because it makes sense, right? Right?
No, NBC wants that big time. Yeah. NBC wants that big time because they're like, listen, we get both them and Ottawa out. There is no chance of an all-Canadian Stanley Cup final that we're going to have to reduce to CNBC right after Mad Money.
Yeah.
Bye.
Actually, I think the contract requires them to air the...
No, they have to, but I don't think they have to air... They don't have to do it on the main. Because it's usually the first three on the NBCSN and then 4 through 7 on main NBC. But I don't know. I don't have the contract in my hands.
I normally just pirate streams because...
We don't have to.
No, we don't have
to. Well, kind of. NBC, we have to find something for the sheer fact that we cut the cord, and NBC is that we don't get a good NBC feed because the tower's in Fargo, and it's like 75 miles away, and our receiver's only 60 miles, so it's very hit and miss.
Yeah, it'll be good for a minute or two, and then it'll freeze
start
up.
Start glitching out. Yeah. So it's easier to get a pirated stream, even though we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But here we are. As a people. I wonder if NHL TV is going to do it for free, like if you bought the subscription. I would be interested to seeing that.
Yeah.
Doubt they will. Because NBC can't get the ratings numbers on that. But anyway, conspiracy theories. What have been the wildest conspiracy theories that you have heard in general? I've got one that I made up. Mario Lemieux faked cancer to get out of his deal with the Penguins.
Oh, God.
That is one that I have heard because I made it up. I want it to get legs. It never does.
And it never will.
He has a full head of hair. Never lost a bit of hair. You tell me that after chemotherapy. You tell me that. Is his hair that thick?
Well, no,
or did
just,
he get plugs?
It depends on the kind of chemo and how you react to it. But anyway.
React to him.
The... Probably the people hold out the Sabres 99.
Ah, the goal and the foot in the crease.
Yes, because... According to the NHL, Lindy Ruff wanted it reviewed as, you know.
But they didn't have.
As it should have been.
Yeah, they didn't have that. It's hard in that situation.
Well, yeah, because everybody's celebrating and, you know. Anyway, Lindy tried to go after Bettman and say, you know, this should be reviewed. And Bettman just turned his back on Lindy and walked away. And Bettman's reasoning was that Lindy was out of control, screaming and blah, 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 blah. And people around testified or told, you know, gave their own version and said, no, Lindy was, he was adamant, but he wasn't out of control. And so the theory is that they just wanted to award the cup and get out of there and avoid any further weirdness and controversy. And so they basically just gave the cup to the Stars because they didn't want to.
Well, at that point in time, you kind of can't.
Yeah.
Because by the time you're getting to Bettman, it's way too late and the refs are already going home. Like Earl Hebner after the Montreal Screwjob just gets in a car and just leaves.
Wearing a fake mustache.
Exactly, wearing a fake mustache and away he goes. But, I mean, that one, first off, I'm surprised that coaches' challenges and reviews hadn't become, instantaneous.
Yeah.
And it's hard in that situation for referees to say, hey, pick up your gloves and stuff. Hold on, we got to go to this.
We got to go
tablet.
Review. Yeah. Well, and that's before the real, I don't know, heavy review.
The call for heavy, for reviewing, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, I can understand that.
So they didn't know how to handle it. And then you have these crowds who are all celebrating and, you know.
I don't know where, because it was in Buffalo. I don't know if there was a big contingency of Dallas fans there, but.
Well, it was an issue of crowd control versus, you know, calling the teams back versus PR versus.
It would have been a whole to do.
Yeah. And the NHL just wanted to avoid that.
Well, then you see something that happens in Chicago, mm-hmm. or in Philadelphia when Chicago won. Patrick Kane scored, and it took 10 minutes before anyone found out what the hell happened.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's a weird situation. Hey, Kevin Fowler is the towel weaver for Nashville tonight.
Hmm.
Broken femur. Oof. Trying to think of a conspiracy that I, not so much conspiracy as it is just troublesome.
Well, every year it's something about the referees. They're against my team. They're against your team. They're against,
guys,
you know.
They're against everyone. Don't worry about
it. It's not that they're against you. It's that they're not necessarily consistent or altogether competent. Mm. So,
yeah.
You know.
They're arbitrary by the rule book. Their rule book is arbitrary. So.
Yeah. And then it's judgment, mm-hmm. you know. So it's an arbitrary rule enforcement followed up by human individual judgment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's conspiracies per se. It's just,
when was human error a bad thing? When did that become a bad thing? Like, because it's every sport. Oh, we gotta have review.
Yeah.
It's like this. The offside reviews take 15 minutes.
Yeah. Like, which is too long.
Well, hell, we've been in the press box for the NCHC games, and those things take forever.
Yep.
And the TV is like right down there, and it's a big screen TV, the review official. And everyone in the press row can see it. Schlossman's out there telling goal or no goal to the people in the stands 20 minutes before the decision's made.
Yes.
So.
Well, it started in the 90s, because I think football started it.
Oh, yeah, football started in the early. But football was more, there was mostly because of betting.
Yeah.
the betting was the thing, the monies.
Well, and then the NHL started with video review, and they had very sort of arcane rules for it. And then, you have, 93, Carey Fraser, the Kings, the Leafs. So you have little incidences that start building up, and then you have the whole foot in the crease rule, and you have the cup goal, and, you know, it just, the pressure just keeps building and building and building until here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Bradshaw! yeah. I'm trying to think of other, I can't really think of many conspiracy theories that have been, out there aside from the refs.
Nope.
Well,
there's always an overarching, this is what the NHL wants. You know, this is who NHL wants to win the cup. There's that every year.
Well, look, if they had that kind of swing, they just wouldn't even have, like
they would just award the cup, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the same theory, different variation every year.
I found something. Hmm. Of course, on the Sportster, so it must be good. top 15 crazy conspiracies in hockey history. Shall we go through this?
Sure.
Here's one for you. 1904.
Uh-huh.
The Ottawa Silver Seven salt the ice during the Stanley Cup final. According to the Globe and Mail, due to the speed, finesse, and skill of the Toronto squad, the legend has it the Silver Sen salted the ice between periods in order to slow down the swift Toronto players, while Lane Sevens does retain the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
That would be a little hard to, unless you put it in the water, your Zambonis.
Well, and there is no Zamboni at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to also understand that that final was held in like March, and the ice was slushy to begin with.
Huh.
So, you know, take it for whatever it's worth.
Here's one. This will get some phone calls. The Miracle on Ice. Legend has it, Mother Russia and her upcoming, in the political interest of Mother Russia and her upcoming Olympic platforms, the Soviet team created a Miracle on Ice in an effort to soften tensions between the two world powers, U.S. and USSR, thereby discouraging a Moscow Olympic boycott by the Americans. Before you dismiss this, a couple things altogether. One, the Russian coach pulled Tretiak with the game tied. Crazy move that undoubtedly risked him being sent to the gulag. Second, the Soviets, who were down 4-3 in the third, never pulled their goalie. The embarrassment of losing to the Americans for the greater good of Mother Russia, if you buy this one, was the motivator.
If you look at Herb Brooks' record, he was never a big believer in pulling the goalie.
Right, but was what's his name?
Tikhonov?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he a big believer in that?
Yeah.
So why didn't he? That's where they're saying is that pulling. Why wouldn't they pull their goalie when you're down one in this big game like this?
It wasn't really. The Russian style was typically more attack. They played a very soccer style of hockey. So it wouldn't necessarily make sense to them to pull the goalie the way it would to us.
And then they say Russia, USA in the Sochi games. Talking about knocking the net off. Someone who knocked the net off. Jonathan Quick, delay a game penalty, no goal. Blah blah blah. American referee saw nothing.
Yeah.
When Quick knocked off the net. Number 12, Todd Bertuzzi, a scapegoat. To Brad May is definitely a bounty on Moore's head. Yeah, I guess it was just they're saying that he was the guy who was following orders, and Mark Crawford was the guy who went ahead and did that. I don't know.
Well, that's the money on the board bounty sort of thing wasn't unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it would be out of character for Crawford or not.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it seems rather spontaneous, I guess.
Yeah.
It seems too spontaneous to have been a bounty sort of thing. Unless he just suddenly went, oh, look, here's my opportunity, and did it. But there doesn't seem to be any premeditation to it, necessarily.
Sure.
So I find that harder.
Vladislav Bykov getting tripped up by Daryl Howardchuk in the 87 Canada Cup, which led to the nice little pretty goal between Gretzky and Lemieux. And there's a gif here of it where he just gets Bykov gets hooked as he's back checking by Howardchuk and kind of dives too.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, of course, Dry Island. Dry Island was mentioned, or Jeff Carter especially was mentioned, but Dry Island's a good one.
Jeff Carter's one that I never liked. I mean, I get
Jeff Carter and Corey Perry mixed up way too much because they're both blonde kids from Ontario.
Yeah,
they're kind of douchebags.
Corey Perry always looks like an overgrown 2-year-old to me.
That's true. With his lost tooth, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
The tank season, 83-84 for Lemieux for the Penguins.
Oh, that's just commonly accepted.
I don't think that's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
When you bring up Vincent Tremblay from Baltimore, that's how you. the 2005 draft lottery. Here we go. Which it prompted the Brian Burke thing of, they didn't the Pittsburgh system, you win the lottery. So, Sidney Crosby, everyone was in a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Anaheim. Whoa, Pittsburgh won it. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I can understand. Like, the draft lottery, the lottery as a whole, people call conspiracy every year.
Every year. They joke about the weighted ping pong balls or whatever. And yeah.
Well, after the whole Patrick Ewing mess in the NBA, like, you know, the frozen envelope or the cold envelope that was dipped in liquid nitrate so they would know which one to pick. Jesus Christ, man. Like, that's huge. But, yeah, lottery can, I mean, hell, you could say it's this year. Colorado. Worst team by a country mile.
Yeah.
Fourth pick overall. They don't even get the first pick.
Nope.
And it's not even like it's a good draft class. So no. It's not as if they tanked it. They're just that bad.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the Oilers winning 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's not some sort of conspiracy basis.
Yeah. NHL against the Vancouver Canucks. The Rashard Wyatts? Why is that a conspiracy? That happened.
No, that happened, but the idea is that the president, Clarence Campbell, was very Anglo-Canadian, He was very Toronto-centric, mm-hmm. very British proper type Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant he would be forever at odds with Quebec. And Rocket Richard spoke his mind, and he had a newspaper column, and he was fined for that and told to stop writing it. Other Habs players had, you know, did radio or columns or whatever, and they were left mostly alone because they didn't speak out the way he did, but they also weren't necessarily stars the way he was. And so the theory goes that Campbell just didn't like Richard, and he didn't like the Habs, and he didn't like Quebec and those stupid French-speaking Canadians who just refused to you know, be like the rest of us and speak English. And so that's why he decided to punish Richard the way he did. And the referee Richard did punch a referee. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't mean to punch the referee that time.
He was just... That time.
That time. There was a time before he did, like, angrily sort of, like, hit a referee in the chest. Like, you know.
Get out of my way.
Yeah. But this time he was trying to take a swing at a player, and the referee happened to be there instead. So this one was just an unfortunate timing for Richard. But Campbell took it as proof that Richard was unruly and a hazard for referees and had to be made an example of, and then you get the Richard riot because they felt that he was discriminating against the Habs and against Richard and against French speakers, the French speaking Canadian. So,
the trade, the Gretzky trade, they're saying that's a conspiracy because Janet Jones Gretzky, Hollywood actress.
Yeah.
That I can see. Also, mm-hmm. I could see that Los Angeles had the money to send to Edmonton when there needed to be...
To be honest, the only team that had the money that Pocklington needed was L.A.
Not even the Rangers.
The Rangers, at that time, were not really willing to spend the money and the players.
Fair enough. The Gretzky high stick. 93. You're shaking your head. You're fluttering your eyes.
Because I get questions about it. And, you know, it's...
It's one of those things where Toronto fans are going to be salty.
Yeah, forever.
Salty butthurt about that.
Forever.
Till they reach another conference final.
Forever.
No, I don't think it's till they reach another conference final.
Yeah, no, I still get questions about it. And, you know, did you... Frazier, I think that was the referee? Yeah,
Carey Frazier was the guy in charge.
I still get questions about, you know, well, why did Frazier do that, not do that? Why did he say this after? Like, you know. And, you know, you can ask him yourself. And he'll give you his version of events. And it's been the same. He's never deviated from his rationale and memory of the event, which leads me to, which, you know, is either A, evidence he's rehearsed it, or B, it's a genuine account. I'm leaning more towards B, it's a genuine account. like human error, it happens. You know, referees can't be eyes everywhere at once, and judgment calls are made, good, better, worse, and different. And, you know, it's unfortunate, and it hurt the team.
Just one of those things, though.
Yeah.
The ass man.
Oh, the assistant manager.
Yes.
On the cup.
Yeah, Frank Selke.
Yeah.
They said they thought it was a prank. Just because they didn't like Frank Selke. So instead of assistant with the A-S-S-T, they just put ass man. Mike Richards is not here. Patrick Sharp's off-ice antics. Sean Avery being accused of gay. Why is that a conspiracy theory? Playoffs being rigged, as we have mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Big name player is fair. The Gretzky rule. The Marty Brodeur rule, which is why they put the trapezoid back there.
Yep.
A lot of rules. Bobby Hall rule, which is the banana blade.
Well, there's the Dernan rule. No goalie shall serve as captain.
Which we shall get into. We can get that next. What did we say we're going to do next week? Oh, the World Championships.
Yep.
We can get to the captains, goalie captains things next week, too, because I know you wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
Oh, and the John Scott stuff. That's not really a conspiracy. That's been proven.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a conspiracy anymore, guys.
That's pretty much been debunked. It's proven. I mean, not
it's
proven.
It's made into a book, and it's going to be a movie, I think. So.
Well, that's the problem with conspiracies, right? Like, once you have to assume that everyone involved is going to keep their mouth shut. And once you have a certain number of people involved, the risk of it being leaked goes up exponentially. So I think for the NHL to have these conspiracies year after year after year and never leak, you must either A, have some sort of amazing blackmail on these people, or B, no conspiracy. I mean...
Well, that's the key thing of a conspiracy, is that everything has to add up.
Well, exactly.
Or else it doesn't go well. It's not a conspiracy. It's true life. So that's conspiracy. That's conspiracy theories, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. What else? Yeah.
Well, if you want to talk. I still want to know what was in Garth Snow's...
Shoulder pads?
Shoulder pads.
I think they were like little...
That's
wood
the
blocks.
Conspiracy that I want to see.
Yeah, no, that's a conspiracy too. Like, if that was real or if we just never broke that part in.
Yeah.
Because you have chest protector for goal, and that stuff's hard to break in.
Yeah, it's hard to break in, but to never and have it squared off that big?
Look, man, these things happen. You know, how often do you sweat on your shoulders? Right?
Right.
Exactly. So... I mean, that would be interesting. We could ask him when he gets fired this summer. So there's that.
Yeah.
If he's not too busy hitting on 16-year-old girls. What? Who said that? Yeah. I don't know. Do you have anything else to talk about this week that was pondering you?
Yeah.
Hockey-wise?
Not really. There's everybody's making a big to-do with a lady knitting behind the Pens bench.
And you're in there.
Yep.
So glad that I pronounced the T's. but you knit a lot, and I've seen it. Like, and you take your knitting to your movie theaters and pretty much everywhere you go. Why are people angry at this? Because there's nothing else to be angry about? Like,
Well, people are just angry. That, like, most of the people who are angry seem to be men. Because they think that she paid all of this money to sit at a hockey game and knit, as opposed to knit and watch the game?
As an economist, it does seem weird. Because you can't, like, people who are very invested into playoff hockey.
Well, but you have to understand that for some of us, it's a coping mechanism.
Sure.
Like, it's very soothing.
Oh, I understand that.
And it actually helps us focus better. And there are many, many scientific studies out there that will say doing handcraft type, like handwork, improves memory and focus. Mm-hmm. And it lessens anxiety, depression, you know. So that's why I do it, because it keeps my hands busy. It's an anxiety thing. And, you know, I can knit, never drop a stitch, and watch the game. It's not like I have to knit or watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I can do both at once.
I guess many people feel you have to be invested at all times. And that's
there are all these real, these really weird rules of being a fan that I don't see and I don't get, and they annoy the hell out of me. Like, just let people enjoy the games how they feel fit.
I think that social media hasn't helped.
No.
Because everyone can yell into the void, like, why they like this and why they don't like this.
Yeah.
Social media is great when it's not, until it's not, you know? It's
yeah.
Fine with social media until it gets annoying.
Yeah. This season, there have been weeks where I'm like, that's it, I'm quitting. Like, I'm done here. Because fans are just so out of control. But
like I say, you know, fan is short for fanatical.
Yep. So, yeah. And, you know, it's no worse than the people who spend half the game on their phone trying to record through the plexiglass or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I don't get those people.
I don't get that. I don't get those people at concerts either. Like, why the hell?
I can get it for, you know, get a moment and then that's it, but not try to do the whole thing.
Yeah, but there are people who are trying to record, like, whole songs or whole sets or whatever, and I'm just like, enjoy the damn concert. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
You know?
But they probably do the same thing that you're doing in knitting, too. Like, if you can capture that moment and play it back, it's a happy place for you. Yeah. So.
And that's entirely possible. So I try not to judge, unless you're being an asshole and banging on the glass. Don't do that. Don't be that person. I don't understand. Like, you can't go to the zoo and do that. You don't go to people's workplaces and do that.
People do go to the zoo and do that.
Yeah, and then they get kicked out.
Sure, but they do it.
Yeah, but it's an asshole move. Don't be that person.
It's like the people on the phone behind the behind home plate during baseball games on their phone and waving to people.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, yeah. It's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
To do that. Or the fans that are on their phone and then turn back to the camera when the puck's coming down. Hey! Hi! Like, you see me?
Yeah. Yep.
I like to do that once and just turn around and wave hi, but I'm in the upper deck. And then, can you see me? No, I'm in the upper deck. I don't have enough money to be down there. Kidding me?
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's no worse than people who get up in the middle of the period to go get popcorn or a hot dog or whatever. I mean, if you're fully invested in the game, then you're not getting up in the middle of the period, right? I mean, logic. Sure. Use it, people.
No, they wait till the people come down to their level. Which, yeah. I noticed that there's not a lot of vendors walking up and down levels anymore.
I don't think there's as much money in it as you speak. Everybody carries cards and not cash.
I guess.
So.
Makes sense. You get one of those, like, smart little things that plug into an iPod and then do it that way.
That would be good.
Yeah. So, I think baseball games have that most often, in all honesty.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Because it's open air. People are working in cash mostly anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the schedule, go to a game down in Farragle.
Yeah. Another $1 hot dog night, see if I can beat my record. What was it? I'd be 8 now. Yeah. I'd have to eat.
I have to go on Monday night. Those are Monday night games, so.
Yeah.
I have to wait till a day where I'm working later. Like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
All right. Well, I guess that's done. I guess we're done. I have nothing else to put forth. That's going to... Because we're at, let's say, 49,
48, 30. Okay.
I think that's a good quality episode.
Yeah.
Then we can go from there. Next week, we'll talk about World Championships. We'll talk about the goaltenders as captains.
Mm-hmm.
All that fun stuff. Where can they find you at?
NHL History Girl.
And that's on the Twitter. You can find me at Scotty Waz on Twitter and most other... social media sites. Our show is SDR Strom Bubble, and that's where you can find us on the Twitter. And Face Off HCKY Show is the main show that we do Wednesday nights. Four heartbroken Caps fans. three heartbroken Caps fans and Lyle Richardson. That's how we roll in this thing. So, there we go. We've done it again. So, for Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. Has been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.